World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good morning, folks. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Don't know where we're going to go this morning, but I want you to know that we're going to go somewhere, all right? Man, oh, man, a crazy time in which we live. I got up this morning and I put on my intolerant shirt. I just felt like being a little bit intolerant today. I'm going to try to crack open some things for you today. I'm going to make you think. We always want it to be, we always want to try to think with the mind of Christ. We want to wash our minds with the water of the Word. We want to be able to see things that others don't see and understand things that others don't see, understand. Scripture tells us the natural man receives not the things of the spirit, neither can he, because they're spiritually discerned. And we are living in a world, I'm telling you, a world saturated with non-spiritual people. We are truly sojourners. Those of us who have the Holy Spirit of God inside of us, I want you to know something. We are a peculiar people. Welcome. Welcome to Pass the Salt here with Coach Dave. Went to the dentist yesterday. Remember I told you guys that I was going to spend an hour in the dentist chair. It ended up being about an hour and 15 minutes, and I felt like I was in it. Was that marathon, man, where they drilled right into Dustin Hoffman's front teeth? That's what I felt like for about an hour and 15 minutes yesterday. But somebody said to me, as you're going to say, well, great chance to share the gospel, and I made these complaints about people having their hands in my mouth, not being able to do it. But I want you to know, hey, boys, when I left there yesterday, they were two hygienists. I think that's what they were. I don't know. I had them in tears. Now, but listen, I should have been crying. What they did to me, I should have called from somebody, bullying expert somewhere. It had to be somebody. Had three people in my mouth. I'm like, how can anybody do that for a living? But in between the grunts and the groans and the complaining and I was able to get out a little bit of the gospel to them. And you know what I discovered again yesterday? Oh, Lord, help me to say this in a way that doesn't sound intolerant. The average person's just living their life. They have no concept. There's one little, sweet little hygienist. She gets her hands in my, I think she's a hygienist. They got so many specializations. I go to my dentist. He's a good dentist, but it's like a mall. This person comes in and gives me a shot, and this person comes in and does something else, and this person comes in, and then there's three of them working on me, and I'm trying to thinking, what degrees do these people have? Do I know anything about these people sticking their hand? I don't know any of them, really. But one time after they numbed me and they pulled their hands out of my mouth, one of them, the hygienist, said to me, isn't that just horrible about those killings in Las Vegas? And I pride myself on saying things others won't say. I said, yeah, it is terrible. But I said, you don't believe that story, do you? And she looked at me. I said, you don't believe that, do you? You don't believe some 64-year-old man carried all those guns up there. You don't believe that, do you? And she didn't know what to say. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Are we so stupid that we've reached the point where we have the inability to think? Do we think? See, the day America died, listen, folks, I'm not going to spend all my time today talking about Las Vegas, okay? I want you to know that right up front. But I got to plant a seed here that I hope is going to grow deep inside of you. The day that America died was November 22nd, 1963, when they killed John F. Kennedy and they lied to us. And today, about 90% of Americans know Lee Harvey Oswald, if he pulled the trigger at all, did not operate alone. They know that. We all know that. That's common knowledge. We just don't know the real story. And why don't we know the real story? Because it was on November 22nd, 1963, that the real deep state was born. In all fairness, it wasn't born. It's when it really moved into power. And if you were to be honest, if we were all to be honest, we look back, you name the national tragedy and there's doubt about what really happened. What really happened at 911? What really happened at Sandy Hook? What really happened at the Boston Marathon? What really happened at Fort Hood? You with me? Everything. And see, they like to take us and call us conspiracy theorists and do everything they can do to make sure we do not question what's going on. I do not watch TV. I have not watched TV. And I don't, almost a year, since I've had television on in my house. And, but I watch what's going on in the media, and I see radio, I see clips on Facebook. I do some YouTube, Facebook stuff. Every channel tells the same thing. Every channel tells the same story. So I'm thinking about this poor little hygienist who's got her hands in my mouth. What hope does she have? What hope does she have to know the truth? And then I went a little bit farther and asked her if she goes to church. And yeah, she does. She goes to church. Good church. She has to go to good church. I said, does your pastor ever talk about this kind of stuff? No. Then another hygienist comes in. We get going back and forth. And I came to realize that you understand this, don't you? They're not dumb people. These aren't dumb people. These are everyday, run-of-the-mill Christian people who have no idea what is going on around them, who actually think a 64-year-old guy climbed up to the top of that tower and shot all those people. Now, we don't know what's going on. The truth isn't going to come out. But can I show you right now why the world has changed? It's never going to be the same, and it's a good reason. Huh? You ready? Here it is. Right there.
Yeah, he's gone.
You guys go.
Nice.
I'm back. Everybody lost me. Now I'm back. I'll get rid of it. That's it, fellas. That's changed the world. Have any idea how many cell phone videos are probably out there that we haven't seen yet, where the evidence is in there, and that we see a constant changing story about what happened in Las Vegas? Why are we seeing a constant changing story about what happened in Las Vegas? Right there's why. Right there. The First Amendment at its finest. Right there. And no matter how much, it's a good thing there ain't old Walter Cronkite around, or Dan Rather, or any of those people, Harry Reasoner. Good thing those guys aren't around anymore to try to program us. They're doing the best they can. Don't get me wrong. They're doing the best they can. But the cat's out of the bag, man. We live in an unbelievable time. And so what we have right now, remember the Bible says that knowledge will increase. Knowledge will increase, and it is increasing. But communication is like we have never, ever seen before. And I want to extol whatever. I'm pretty good with words. I'm not sure. I want to encourage you right now. Turn off the TV. Please. Turn off the TV. Do not sit in front of your TV and watch Fox News. Don't sit in front of your, please don't sit in front of your TV and watch CNN. If you walk into an airport and CNN's on, go sit someplace where you don't listen to it. There is unbelievable programming that's coming through that thing. In fact, Right Wing Watch is watching right now, and they're trying to do whatever they can do. When I'm going to make a good point, they're going to do everything they can to challenge that point. Not challenge it, not have a conversation with me. That Kyle Manta, he can come on. We'll have a talk about it. He ain't going to come on here. They float that stuff out in there. And I run into people who I really respect who they're just dumb as rocks when it comes to the culture and society, okay? So the Drudge Report said now, more than one shooter, didn't act alone. All this stuff's starting to come out. Why? They got to come up with a reason. See, they have to come up for a reason. I'm not making people were killed there. I'm not making light of that. People were killed. I'm in 1 Thessalonians, Jared, if you get there for us. 1 Thessalonians 5. I wrote a commentary today. This is that. I wrote it at newswithviews.com. I don't know if I'll get a chance to put that up there today or not. I'm in 1 Thessalonians 5, and again, my wife and I, she and I had an argument yesterday. We haven't. We did. We had our. I never fight with my wife. We never have an argument. Wow, we had a doozy yesterday. But we love each other today. Cleared the air a little bit over something stupid. This way the enemy always operates, right? It's over stupid stuff. And as usual, I left more intolerant than ever. That's where I'm heading. I'm in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Joe is with us today, so maybe we can use his voice, get him in here, because I love his. Would it be a bass or a baritone? What is it you have, Joe? It has to be a bass. Is that bass? Joe, I see you there. Maybe he's off the bathroom. Jared, do you have it up here for me, man? Let's see. Who's Jared? I'm trying to find. There you are. I'm sorry. Here it is, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And again, this scripture was given to me this morning by one I fought with yesterday, my wife. It's good, though. You need to get good dusting up every once in a while. But here it is. Are you with me, Joe? Can you read it? Are you gone? Because I don't want to steal your thunder. He hadn't come to life yet. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is good, man. We'll read the whole thing real quick. And I want you to see if you see the American church anywhere in this. Okay? But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. See, here comes the rapture theory coming. People are going to get rapture theory out. What's a thief in the night? When you least expect it. That's a thief in the night. Least expect it. But when they say peace and say, are you here, Joe?
Yeah.
All right, verse 3. Keep going, man.
For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape.
Folks, that just happened to those people in, this ain't talking about a rapture. This just happened to those people in Las Vegas. Sudden destruction, peace and safety. They thought they were peaceful and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. And they shall not escape. They can get away from it. Keep going, Joe.
But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief.
Oh, we don't have an excuse, do we? This is that. We have no excuse. Paul says, you guys don't have an excuse. Keep going. Doing great, Joe.
We are all the children of light.
How about that?
Children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness.
Hey, Larry, who's he talking to here? Is he talking to the world? Is he talking to CNN or MSNBC? Is he talking to everybody?
No, I think he's talking to those who happen to have had a little light in their eyes.
He's talking directly to the Thessalonian Christians, isn't he, Larry? He's not talking to everybody. And he said, what, you're the children of light and and you're the children of the day. We're not of the night, nor of darkness. Keep going, Joe.
Therefore, let us not sleep as do others.
I just ran into him yesterday in the dentist's office. They were asleep. They're asleep. Because why? They're not children of the light. They may go to church, but they're not children of the light. Keep going, Joe.
But let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night and they that be drunken are drunken in the night.
Amen.
Wow. But let us who are of the day be sober.
There we are again.
Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ.
Critical point. It doesn't say for God has not appointed us to death, because it is appointed to a man once to die. And after that, the judgment. Everybody's going to die. And the fact that those people were killed by that dude in Las Vegas was not the wrath of God. You never know when your time is up. All right? Death is coming to all of us. When the Lord said that he has not appointed us into wrath, he's talking beyond this world. Not in this world. Come on, man. Keep going, Joe. You're doing great.
For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ.
Pardon me, who's he talking to? Who's he talking to, Larry? Who's he talking to, Larry? You don't have to answer. Keep going, Joe.
That whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him.
Amen.
Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do.
He's talking to us. Us. We're supposed to be comforting each other and edifying one another. Is that happening in your church? Go ahead.
And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you.
Wow.
And are all over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them.
Do you know them, folks, that you're hanging out with there in that church? You really know them? Because it says here, we beseech your brother to know them. Not just know them. Not just, hey, hi, Joe. Hi, Tom. Hi, Bill. Hope you have a blessed day. No, no. To understand and know and have a relationship with those that labor among you. Are you doing that in your church? Are you walking into a 5,000-member church and you know all the people? You know the pastor? Have you ever actually walked up to your 5,000-member church and shook your pastor's hand and he knows your name? How can you call him a pastor? You don't even know. He don't even know you. Boy, oh boy. This is good. Thanks, Michelle. Glad we had a fight. Thanks for leading me to this. Hey, Joe, I'm going to try to shut up, let you go. Keep going.
I'll start that part over again. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men.
Got to stop you a second, Joe. Part of our job is to make sure that people aren't getting picked on, that we none render evil for evil. In other words, if we see it going on, we are supposed to stand up and stop it. It's not me supposed to, I'm not supposed to just not render evil to Joe. I'm not supposed to let Joe render evil to Lyndall or to Dale or to John or to John. We're not supposed to stand by and watch anybody get evil leveled at them. Keep going, Joe.
Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless
unto
the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all brethren with an holy kiss. And I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren.
Amen, amen. You can stop right there, Jill. Can you see the separation of those believers from those who gather together but aren't believers? Hey, folks, I want you to know something. I'm not trying to pound on my chest and say, I made it and you didn't. I'm better than you. No, I'm trying to help you all to understand that you are in this queue right now because for some reason, the Lord has tapped you in the chest and you see things that others don't see. And I'm here to tell you that is a good thing. And the world will tell you that it's a bad thing. The world will tell you that you're conspiracy theorist and you're negative and you don't have any good thing to say about anybody else. No. No, the Lord is troubling you. The Holy Spirit of God is troubling you by the things that you see that others do not see. Time out. Jump in here. Get me in the mouth.
Coach,
if you think I'm crazy. Yeah.
Hey coach, don't you think though that if everyone's speaking well of us, that ought to be a concern to us, right?
Absolutely.
Because
especially in this society, right? In this society. Yeah.
So really, because there came a point in my life I had to say, man, I don't have too many people speaking bad against me that I know of, and that's
well, George is just the greatest guy. George is a great guy. He's a good guy. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, that started concerning me because I thought Scripture clearly tells us that you're going to be persecuted if you're serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. So, you know, count it all joy when that happens, because that's what's supposed to happen.
That's right. But that's not the way we're programmed. Somebody else jump in here. Good job. Good job, George.
They might be trying some deception, brother. That's what it is.
Well, I'm heading there, Vince. That's where I'm heading today. I'm going to show you what's going on. I want to ask, I'm not here to, please don't miss this. I'm not here I hate to use the word judge. I'm not here to evaluate somebody's salvation. I'm not talking about a salvation issue here. That little hygienist, she could be saved. She could be on her way to heaven. She could be.
Coach.
She probably is.
Do I get to jump in for a second?
Yeah.
I hope that you do eventually get to the point where you do judge salvation, because that's the only way you're going to know how you treat people the way they're supposed to be treated. Because the Bible tells us to discern good from evil. And it tells us to learn by practice.
But Larry, I've been programmed that I'm not supposed to judge.
Yeah, but don't let that programming override your knowledge of the truth.
I'm coming out of it, Larry. I'm coming out of it. Huh? I'm coming out of it. It's because we are exactly in the mess that we're in because people will not judge. They refuse to judge.
Hey, Coach, 2 points on this. First thing is when that Thessalonians, that's one of the scriptures I shared with Chris when I went down there. And, of course, they were feeding down there later on. Nothing. That's fine. That's them. But I told them, I said, I'm sorry, brother. I'm a child of the day. I said, I do the work during the day. I said, I'm going to set up. We're going to feed during the day. I said, I really want to minister to those families and reach to those families. I said, brother, 9-10 o'clock at night, I'm in bed because I get up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
But
the second thing is, maybe when you get older,
I used to be a child of the night, though. But I used to be a child of the night.
Oh, you and me both, brother. I've been there. Yeah, I've been there and done that too. Yeah, and wake up underneath a tree in the city, you know. But the other thing about the judging, with even like George was saying, is one thing when the world, you know, is cackling us. But brother, some of the scrutiny and the persecution is truly coming, just as Paul thought he was doing the will of the Lord when he was coming at the church. And brother, that's the truth. I just read the article where Cal's Astro was arrested again yesterday.
Yeah, well,
reading the Bible for reading the Bible. This
I'm on Cal's
this
side.
Is the. This is the persecution that we really need to watch out for, where they think that they're doing the will of God and turning us over to the sheriffs and to the magistrates and the government, thinking that they're doing the will of God, shutting up the gospel.
They said the day would come when they would kill you and think they do a good thing. Fellas, it's happening. Why? Because, see, they've turned good and evil upside down. They've turned it on its head. And so, therefore, the confusion, see, Jesus is the rock. He is the standard. He is the way, the truth, the life. And as soon as we began to compromise and deviate off of his plan, we now are headed into dangerous territory. And all we have to do is look around the world and understand that, as we were told, Matthew 5, verse 13, where Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses his savor, it is henceforth good for nothing except to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men." Christianity, out of the mouth of the average Christian man, has become good for nothing. And it's good for nothing because they will not speak the oracles of God. They will not stand up. They will not speak. They will not defend their Lord. And he said, if you're ashamed of me before man, I'm going to be ashamed of you before my Father, which is in heaven. And the Christian church has been taught that the greatest thing that a Christian can do is compromise, tolerate, and love. And that is not in the scripture. Not in there. How's it happen to us? How could we watch that video yesterday, that guy doing that street preaching, and all those people who, the deplorables, all of the good people walking down through there, mocking and making fun, calling themselves Christian and running to sin.
Hey,
how's
Coach,
it happen to us? Yeah.
Remember yesterday I was telling you about that Matthew chapter 7, about the two foundations, and that the sand is the fragmented rock. Listen
folks, listen to this. Go ahead, Dale.
Okay, Matthew chapter 7. Larry, this is really discerning and insightful. You're going to enjoy. Well, it's actually sad, but Matthew chapter 7 goes on. Not only does he talk about the false prophets, but he talks about two foundations. He talks about one that was the solid rock. The house is built on it. And then the second one said it was on shifting sand. Sand is nothing more than broken down rock.
It is
broken down rock. It's fragmented rock. And listen, when you start taking scripture and you begin to fragment it, when you begin to not take it, remember, Larry, that's the Old Testament stuff. Brother, that is the shifting sand. Let me give you one real quick. And I'll be quiet. We read this in the Hallmark stores at Christmas time all year long. We have read this, Coach. We have seen these passages of scriptures in those Hallmark cards. And the scripture says in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace amongst men. And they put a period there and they sell that card. But that's not what the scripture says. Listen to what the scripture says. Those angels said this, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace amongst men with whom he is pleased. They never put that in there.
He loves everybody. They don't have to put that in there, Dale. God loves everybody. God
fragmented,
is love.
Fragmented concrete. You now got sand.
What a picture that is, Dale.
I love your picture of the necessity of a good foundation there. And the foundation has to be made out of the right stuff. A foundation made out of something that'll turn to sand with a little bit of earthquake is no good. And, you know, I've been in the construction industry for a lot of years since my time in the military. And I know blueprints. I can take a set of blueprints and build a house. Yep. I can build a house without a set of blueprints if I need to. But the blueprints include the foundation. In fact, if you don't get the foundation part right when you're starting to build a house, I don't care how pretty that house is, it's about worthless when you finish with it if you didn't get the foundation right.
Amen. I'm sorry, Larry.
There is a place in the Bible that specifically lists the elements of a good foundation, and it's found in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. I'm not going to go over it. You got to do a little bit of work on your own, folks. Go to Hebrews 6, 1 and 2, and find out what a good foundation is made out of, what it consists of, because I will guarantee you, your church may have a foundational classes. May have a class on the foundations of the Christian walk or any. I have never, ever, ever seen any of the church classes that have more than two of the six elements that are listed in Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. But each one of them will have a total of seven elements of their foundation so they can stick to that magic number seven. I'm challenging you folks. Check me out. See if I'm right or wrong. Go to Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. Find out what God says the elements of the foundation are. And then go to your church and find out what their foundational teachings are. If their foundational teachings are of what God says, then stick with that church. That's a good place to be. But if they're different, come out.
I look at it as the whole. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but not one iota, not one tittle of my word. This is where we are finding churches who were taking pieces and parts, but not the whole. You know, we're a New Testament church. Well, brother, you got a shifting sand foundation then.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
The law is important and the law is good. So that's just
me. I want to focus on the word foundation for people's lives, for people's spiritual lives. The whole can come after. If you don't have the foundation of your spiritual life right, you can have all the spiritual church teachings you want to have. If that spiritual foundation is not right, your house is not going to stand. Your house is going to be a worthless piece of construction without a good foundation.
So how have they smashed our foundation? How have they done? By the way, Hebrews 6, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of the laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will do if God permit. So what has happened to us that our foundation has been jackhammered into sand? Folks, most churches,
Matthew 7:1.
Most churches are standing on sand. Now, what? Listen, in part of that sand, there's truth in some of that sand. When that stuff was all put together, it was a solid rock, and they chiseled off a little here and chiseled off a little there. Now most of the churches are standing over here on the tolerance and accepted section of the sand. They're over there, but that's sinking sand. That isn't going to hold up. And the we look around at what's going on in America, and what's the one thing that we continue to hear from the church? That we're supposed to love our enemies. God is love, and forgive them and tolerate and show them the love of Jesus. Well, that would be good if that was all that we were supposed to do. But if you just go through the scriptures over and over and over and over and again, you're going to see, Larry, what it says right there. Pardon me, eternal judgment. Resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. That is almost never spoken of in the American church. It's sinking sand. Dale, it's a great picture that you've painted. So I want to show you something here. Instead of just rambling, I feel like I'm rambling. Anybody out there have something they want to say? Because I want you to know that here, your opinion matters. Anybody?
Well, that's where we're seeing the churches, even in Texas, during what the winds came, the storms came, and the churches were in disarray, brother.
They're blown away, weren't they? They're in disarray.
Yep. They weren't ready.
Who else wants to jump in here?
I did. One of the things, I love being radical and crazy for Christ because it drives people nuts. But I stopped for mail pickup is at Baylor Hospital, and the ladies there, they love the Lord and all this kind of stuff. I said, do you guys understand what the mark of the beast is? And what happens if you take, first thing that came out of their mouth was, yeah, you're going to go to hell. I said, there ain't no getting out of it. You're going to go to hell, right? What happens if you don't take it? And he said, and I looked him straight in the eye and I said, you are out of a job. That hit him. That hit him. So that kind of stuff is what I do every day. Mm-hmm. And I love doing it. It's so much fun.
Confront, hey,
can I throw something real fast before
sure,
you continue?
Sure, Vince. If I jump up here in a minute, my cat won't shut up. I'm going to kick him here in a minute. Get out of here, Opie. Go ahead.
I did not work for 17 months, all right? So I'm not taking the mark of the beast, and I'm doing fine without it. So just encourage everybody. Screw them.
Amen, Vince. Amen. So anybody else? John Brockoff in here? Did I see John? He must have fallen off out there. Anybody else got anyone to say anything? Speak now, forever hold your peace, because I'm gonna show you what's happened to us. See, the church, Matthew chapter 5. Opie, get out of here. Here, okay. You want your moment in time? There's Opie. Everybody see Opie? He wants to be on screen. Now get out of here, Opie. What's happened to us, see? Is the salt has lost his savor through moral manipulation. Remember, we're warned in the scriptures, woe to those who call good evil and evil good, but the church universal is calling evil good. I got hair up here now. That's what we're doing. Can I give you a for instance? Jared, pull up here in the stuff I sent you today. It says, there's two good ones I want to throw up there. But let's go here. Jared, let's go to it says abortion survey. I want to ask you something. How can anybody in their right mind, if they believe abortion is murder, how can they tolerate it? Would you tolerate murder down on the street? If it was happening at your local school, if people were being killed at your local school, why, the CNN would be there, media would be there, church would be praying for the souls of the people. Yet we have a world that's full of what's supposed to be Christians, and they are ambivalent. That means, like, one way or another, it don't matter to them regarding abortion. How's that happen? Here's a survey. Americans are confused about abortion. The seminal Supreme Court ruling on abortion known as Roe versus Wade was handed down 1973. One might expect Americans to have developed clear and consistent views on abortion during the intervening 45 years. The new research from the American Culture and Faith Institute suggests the opposite. The fact that more than 54 million abortions have been performed more than 54 million abortions have been performed in this country since that ruling has done little to spur people to develop a clear and compelling view on the matter. Americans, Christian Americans, have no view on abortion. How can that be? Appearing at the state at the Capitol to present his latest national research, George Barna, the executive director of this, went on, says this: Americans' views on abortion may be confused and lukewarm. Okay, I don't want to take you down through all this, but look, George Barna is, I really respect George Barna. Look at this: on balance, a plurality, that means a whole bunch, more, not half, but most, a plurality of adults claim to be pro-choice. That was substantially larger than the 38% who claimed to be pro-life. By the way, folks, 72% of Americans claim to be Christians. Another 8% said that they didn't have a position. There you are. There's America. I don't have a position on it. I don't have a position on it. However, when the intensity of one's position is taken into account, the difference between two sides is reduced. Overall, 31% said they were strongly pro-choice, compared to only 24% who said they were strongly pro-life. Somebody help me out here. How can you be mildly pro-life? How can you be mildly against murder? Oh, I'm sort of against it.
That's like being mildly dead.
A majority of
them. Mildly, but we can be lukewarm.
Oh, brother. Well, that's what we're showing here, right? It's a small majority of adults, 56%, want abortion to be legal. However, that view is dependent upon the circumstances. Less, see, folks, this is moral relativism. That's what I'm trying to get to today. I don't know if I'm going to have time. Less than one quarter of all adults, 23%, want abortion to be legal under any. Only 24% of the people want it to be legal under every circumstance. Yet it is. One third want abortion to be legal under most, but not all. And another one quarter want the practice to be illegal under most circumstances. But only about 1 in 10 adults want to outlaw an all situation. The 11% remaining didn't know how they felt. They're on the cell phone. The largest share of adults, but as a distinct minority, believes that abortion is immoral. Only 36% of Americans believe abortion is immoral. Close to one fourth of the public says abortion is a moral. See, the public says, 23% say, well, that's a moral issue. That's for sure. Well, a similar 24 say it's not a moral issue. And again, the remaining 16%, they hadn't thought about it. A large majority of the public holds internally inconsistent views on abortion. For instance, considering just three related issues, the legality of abortion, the morality of abortion, and the age at which the fetus becomes human, more than 3 out of 4 adults have views that do not match. One out of 7 adults emerged as consistently pro-abortion, while only 8%, look at that, Dale, only 8% are consistently pro-life. Staggering. Examples of moral relativism, stay with me. Examples of these inconsistencies were abundant. For instance, the majority of those who say they are pro-life also say that even though they would not have an abortion, they think everyone should have the right to choose. One quarter of the self-proclaimed pro-lifers believe abortion should be allowed if the fetus is less than a month old. Almost 1 in 4 pro-lifers contend that abortion should be legal in all or most circumstances. And nearly 9 out, see, they think abortion should be legal. But they think it's wrong, but should be legal. Nearly 9 out of 10 adults who say they are pro-choice also contend that all human life is sacred. Pro-choice Americans say life is sacred. This is you tell me this isn't schizophrenic. 1/4 of the self-described pro-choice segment admit that abortion's a murder, regardless of the age or the health of the fetus. Most of the 1 out of 5 abortion advocates claim that the fetus is human at conception. The other side, the pro-choice side, believes it's a human being. In fact, 1/6 of the pro-abortion segment believes that abortion is morally unacceptable. Can you explain this to me? Do you understand what that just said? 16% of it think abortion is morally unacceptable. But who are they to tell somebody else what they can do? Further evidence of people's hang on a second. Further evidence of contradictory views include the fact that 1/3 of all adults believe that abortion is murder, and yet they believe it should be legal. Just balance those two. 1/3 of adults think it's murder, yet they think it should be legal. 3 out of 10 adults argue that life starts at conception, yet they support the legalization of abortion. Okay, go ahead. Is that George trying to get in there? Whoever it was.
Yeah, Coach, I was just going to tell you on a good report, I learned that I'm a graduate of Oral Roberts University, class of 1988. And right now, currently in 2017, 50% of the bioethics committee, which is basically heads of the science department at Oral Roberts University, are pro-choice. I think we have a problem.
Houston, we have a problem. Houston, we have a problem. Value of life. Let's scroll down. Maybe I don't need to go any more down here because it just, you get the point, right? The survey also discovered that more than 4 out of 5 adults, 86%, believe all lives are of equal value. Just 10% believe that some lives are more valuable than others. Slightly higher proportions of born again Christians, 93% of pro-life adults held that all lives are of equal value, but they will not defend them. Can somebody unpack this for me here? This is what we did. But guys, these are the people who clean your teeth, who sit beside you in church. How does it happen? I have the answer, but I want to hear from you first. Come on, it won't hurt. It won't hurt. Speak up. Promise it won't hurt. Now they're chatting away over there. They don't want to jump in here with us. Okay, well, I'm going to show you how. Can I show you how? I hear somebody. No? Jared, let's go to values clarification list. Down at the very bottom. Values clarification is something that came into the American culture back in the 70s, early 70s. I was a public school teacher. I taught values clarification. Sounds harmless, doesn't it? Sounds harmless. First of all, understand this, that you're talking about an atheistic school system. Now, maybe atheistic is not the right word. Maybe it's humanistic. The God of the public school system is self, human, the man, me, myself, and I. We are the God. We are the Holy Trinity, me, myself, and I. That is the God. So therefore, the purpose of life is to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Feel good about yourself. And then by changing, see, if I were to ask you right now, what are important values for you to have? What values do you value? Which is, by the way values clarification started out. That's how, what's important to you? What would you like to be? What kind of person do you, they would question all of it. I'm going to show you something. Okay. Jared, scroll down quite a ways. It's down quite a ways. Keep going there, Jared. Hey, it's right there, Jared. Stop. Okay, so here we go. Here's the choices and values. Which ones were important to me? So we would give this to the kids, and we would make them, folks, values clarification simply means this. Trying to clarify in your mind what really matters to you. What's really important. They wanted those kids to leave school knowing what was really important to them. Me, myself, and I. Look at this. Here's the choices and values that your public school handed out to the kids. I know because I did it. Here were the choices. You're supposed to check the ones. Number one, a physical appearance to be proud of. To graduate with honor. I want you to watch how they mix moral values with culture, society, flesh. What should they mix? Being an honest person, have political power, be known as a real person, a meaningful relationship, self-confidence and personal growth, enjoyment of nature and beauty, a life with meaning, purpose, fulfillment, continue to learn and gain knowledge, a chance to help the sick and disadvantaged, to be attractive to others. There's 30, 50 of them. There's 50 of them they would throw out to these kids, and they would go down and they would check, and then they would get them into the discussion.
Lost your audio again, Coach.
Hey, awesome. Guys. I hate that. I hate it when you. I don't know what's going on. I'm striking hot, man. I'm striking hot. Look at this. 26, a beautiful home in the setting of your choice. 27, chance to develop creativity, potential in the air. Can you see the confusion coming into a mind of a 7-year-old, 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old kid trying to clarify their values? Do I want a nice house? Do I want to be nice to people? Do I want people to like me? Do I want people to love me? Do I need to be important? Do I need to become a good parent? Do I want a better relationship with my parents? Do I want to be sexy? Do I want to persevere in what I'm doing? Time for prayer? Do I want to... Do you see the moral confusion that's coming in? And they bring in the moral confusion, and then they're going to bring the clarification. I want really that. Go on down, Jared. Go on down a few pages. So now you got to list all those five things. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Oh, stay here a minute, Jared. Okay, so here's some choice and value characteristics. What's important to you? Sincerity, honest and integrity, emotional well-being, stability, artistic appreciation, education, intelligence, wisdom, compassion, fairness, justice. Do you understand that every one of these things is a value to the person only? Appearance, beauty, approval, love, friendship, personal closeness, health, personal safety, security, religion, spirituality, family, love, emotional security, fulfillment, intellectual, vocational, personal freedom, independence. So all of a sudden then they say, well, here's what really matters to you. They do this little chart, put them all down. Here's what really matters to you. This is the type of person you are. And so what do we end up with? Well, eventually we end up with, I personally would never kill a person. But who am I to tell you what you can do? Because I know from these values clarification surveys that I had in school that many people value many, many different things. And who am I to tell somebody what's right in their life? As long as, you know, I would never do it. I would never do that, but she may want to do it. And so that's where the moral confusion has come. And folks, please hear me. It's right in our church, right in our churches, where we see people who say abortion is murder. Yep, that's okay. Why? Well, it may not be okay for me, but it might be okay for Sarah. Sarah, she may have been raped. Oh, Sarah may have had incest. Oh, Sarah wants to get a college education, and that was one of her values that she put on that chart. Do you see what they have done to us? And do you see, going back to the sinking sand dale, Larry, the rock, do you see how they have taken that daggone jackhammer and have jackhammered our cultural values right out from under us. And everybody is standing on a little hunk of a rock that they've created their own value system on. And every judgment, every moral decision they make is from the rock they have been taught they stand on. So you go to churches, you got homo pastors. Marry homos. You got people living in sin in the church. You got divorced people. I'm not making fun of divorced people. You got divorced people. You got guys who are crooks in businesses. You got people who are power hungry in the church. And we just read in 1 Thessalonians, God ought not be that way. That's not the way it's supposed to be. How much time I got? Okay, good. I'm going to bring it home. Anybody want to say, oh my? Oh my, this was done in your school and still is being done.
Oh my.
Jared, bring up, where is it? 10 evils we teach our kids. 10 evils we teach our kids. Getting close to home here, boys. Girls, getting close to home. No wonder they freaking hate me. 10 evils parents teach their kids by sending them to public school. Jim Crass says, the love of these so-called Christians has grown cold. They're lukewarm and they're so deep in their own sin that they hardly approve the sin of others. I didn't finish it, Jim. I got to get through this. Fire-breathing Christian. 10 evils parents teach their kids by sending them to school. Subtly. Hey, there's two little hygienists yesterday that I had in tears when it was over. Their kids are in public school. Christians, they're in public school. Okay, let's scroll on down, Jared. I'm not gonna waste a lot of time on this. I'm gonna show you this. Hey, when's the last time you went into your church, went to your friends? When's the last time? Hey, Dad, have you? Stay right there, Jared. Have you broached that subject with the children? I told my children, Michelle and I told our kids, please don't disrespect me by putting my grandbabies in public school. I'll do whatever I can to pay for them to get a homeschool or Christian education. Do not put them in public school. When you do that, you are disrespecting my entire life's work. I told them that. Have you broached that subject yet with your children, grandchildren? Do you sit at home heartbreaking when you watch your kid? I was driving yesterday to go before I got my teeth. I was on my way to get my teeth done. And the school bus stopped in front of me, and some little kid couldn't have been that high. Mommy walks him down, putting him on the yellow school bus to hell. Breaks my heart. Okay, here are the 10 things. And I'm not going to read all of them. I'll get this article out there. You can read it on your own. 10 things that we teach our kids by sending them to public school. Number one, that the state should mold the minds of the young. Amen. Values clarification. When we put our kids in public school, we're saying, state, you teach them what you want them to know. Two, the state should mold the minds of the young in an explicitly anti-Christ manner. Not only do we say, state, you mold my children's mind, my child's mind, do it away from Christ, please. Three, the state should exalt itself above all other gods. What do you think tolerance, diversity, acceptance, what do you think that's all about? Four, all lesser gods are to be treated equally beneath the state. In your local public school right now today, Muhammad has the same standing as Jesus, if not a little bit higher. Five, statism. This is one of the things that you're teaching your kid when you send them to school. Statism should be exalted above all other competing worldviews and religious systems of thought. I got to stop here a minute. I was passing, as I was in the waiting room yesterday. I'm not done. Stay with me. I was in the waiting room yesterday. I was listening to something on the way over. I can't remember. Mike Gallagher maybe was listening. And you know what the entire news is about? The entire news is about what Trump says we should do, what Pelosi says we should do, what McConnell says we could do, what this guy. And you know what? Can I tell you something? Hold your ears. Who gives a damn what they think? I couldn't care less about them. I don't care what Trump says, thinks, does. Trump doesn't affect my life. Get away from me. Leave me alone. But see, we've programmed everybody that you got to watch the news because what Trump's talking about today, everybody gets killed. Oh, there was a shooting in Las Vegas. What's Trump think about it? What? What's wrong with us? Shooting in Las Vegas? Oh, my good Chuck Schumer, what do you think? Why? Because we programmed it. That's God. Six. Marriage, family, and all other God-ordained institutions are open to constant revision and management by the state. Somebody say amen, you don't have to. Verse 7, even gender can be perpetually redefined and managed by the state. Oh, you're Christian and you're against that. Well, the separation between the church and the state, and we really don't have a right here to tell other people what to do. And so your kids graduate and they're marching in the street with Antifa, and you can't figure out why. Coveting and confiscating the property of others is legitimate. So it's time for another school levy. Here, give your kids some signs. Let them walk and march around the school. We need more money. Please put kids first. 9. Got to catch my breath. The state is above and beyond the law of God. What do they teach your kids when you put them in public school? And 10. The state is God in prep. So, boys, we got us a job, don't we? Hey, Dale, we got some sand, man. Used to be a good solid rock, this good old U.S. of A. It talks truth to our children. It talks the values of God to our children. Not all gods, the God, the one and only God, the true God, the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That one, that God. We taught all of those values to all of our children. And now what is all the rage? Multiculturalism. Why? Because the government doesn't want one powerful God. It wants a bunch of gods that obey them.
Well, Coach.
Yep.
You didn't hear that God is a Republican, conservative, constitutional American, huh? You didn't hear that?
I did not hear that. I did not, but he probably is. Probably is. See, but that's how they've got us. Did you ever think about that? Why is it on every damn thing I got to hear what Trump thinks about? Oh, the president flew down to Puerto Rico. Why? Who cares? Who cares? Stay up home and do other stuff. Send Franklin Graham. You stay home and do whatever. Chuck Schumer, go figure out something else to do. Don't you see the programming? Don't you see what they've done? Can't you see the jackhammer? And you're a very lucky man if you are in your home, in your family, your adult children share your values. You are a very lucky man because they have withstood the most anti-Christ assault that could have ever happened to them, the public school system that you put them in.
Amen to that, brother.
It's our fault.
It is. It is. And Coach, the family is what is under attack. Think about it.
Sure it is.
After the family, not just the kids, but the family. They're usurping.
They don't want a family. They don't want a family.
Well, they want a family, but they want to be the daddy.
Well, it takes a village to raise the children. Yeah. It takes a village. And JR, we believe it. We repeat the same damn things. I believe abortion is murder, but there shouldn't be a law against it. What the? Are you kidding me? That was 90%. Wasn't that the survey said? That's where 90% of people are. I think it's murder, but shouldn't be a law against it. That's sinking sand there, baby doll. Sinking sand. Actually, it's enough to make a guy get up in the morning and just pull the covers back over his head. Except, told me in 1 Thessalonians 5, I can't do that. Can't do that. Jared, can we go back there? All of it. Your children are the light. What's that? I'm sorry. Right there, Jared. Your children are the light, verse 5. The children of the day. We're not of light nor of darkness. Why do we put our kids in darkness? Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day or children of the day, let us be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us unto wrath, but unto salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that we awake and sleep, and we should live together with him, comfort one another. Going down, Jared. About out of time. There you are. Rejoice evermore. 16. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. And Jesus Christ concerning you, quench not the spirit, despise not. Prophesy and prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from appearances of evil. We got some work to do, don't we, boys? We got some work to do. But understand this, that the first, you go to the dentist, go to the doctor, you go to the mechanic, the first thing they do is diagnose the problem. This is that. We've diagnosed the problem. It's us. It's the sinking sand that we're standing on rather than the rock upon which we're supposed to be building. And they're jackhammering us away. And instead of us fighting back against the jackhammering, we just move over on that little rock where they still, we hide over here from everybody else. And, oh well. We don't have anything to tell them anyway. Separation between the church and state. Morality is personal. Who am I to judge? Live and let live. Abortion's murder, but who am I to make a law? We got our work cut out for us. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.